All right. Hey, Canyon Springs, how you doing? Fantastic. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you know, you don't have a lot of control over what can happen in a junior high little basketball court, but at least you can point us so we're not looking at the sun, right? Well, so here's the deal. Last year we pointed the other way, so we looked at the sun. So this year is your turn, okay? That's the way we figured it out. All right, let's try this again. Now, if you don't know, I say he is risen, you say he is risen indeed. Churches have been doing this for hundreds of years. Let's try it, Canyon Springs. Let's do it the best ever. Here we go. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Okay, right over here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Right over here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
All right, to the people who are too weak to sit in the sun. He is risen. That's right, we have a dog pound today. Let's hear that, guys. And the ever-increasing dog pound. Hey, don't worry about it, though, guys. This message will be no more than an hour long. Okay. So, kids, you just keep looking at those little bouncy things, and you just don't worry about it. In an hour, you'll be bouncy. Okay, so I want to start out like this, with a question that you've been asked maybe your whole life. And it goes like this. What do you want to be when you grow up? Now, we have to answer it in two parts, right? Because some of you, you're grown up, man. In fact, some of you looking around, you're well beyond grown up, okay? You may, like me, you may be on the decline. So I'm going to ask it to you like this. When you think back, when you were a little kid, if you could be anything, what was it? If I could be this when I grew up, this is what I would want to be. Now, we got a lot of kids in the room here, too. So I'm going to just ask you to you straight up, you who are under 18, answer this. What do you want to be when you grow up? So here's what you're going to do. I want you to stand up. I want you to find somebody. Ask them that question. You have kids. Ask them that question. Here we go. Go. Football player, all right. Let me see your guns. Let me see your guns. There you go. Yeah, I think so. Anybody else want to answer that question? Right in front. Oh, you look so beautiful. And pink. Can you please stand up? Doesn't she look beautiful? Yeah. What do you want to be? A professional dancer. Wow, me too. That's awesome. Anybody over here want to answer this question? Too shy? Too shy? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to be in the Navy. Oh, let's give it up right there. Fantastic. Okay, he's going to have to yell, but he's really into it, and he's got some. Okay, go ahead, tell me. What do you want to be?
I want to own a museum.
He wants to own a museum? Did anybody else say that? All right, do you know what I wanted to be? When I grew up, when I was little, what I wanted to be when I grew up? Basketball player. And so I used to spend hours and hours and hours, not doing this because I'm not very good at it, but I used to spend hours and hours. I had a junior high that was just blocks from my house. It looked very similar to this. And so I would take my ball and I would dribble it all the way to that junior high. And then I'd practice for hours and I'd dribble it all the way home. Both hands, right hand, left hand, crazy crossover. You got it, man. I had it all as an eighth grader. And being here takes me back to those moments. I'd get to that junior high, and I'd take hours just practicing, shooting, layups, rebounding. I was a very good shot, so lots of rebounding. Dribbling, all in hopes of that dream, because there are just so many 6 foot white guys in the NBA. And not only was I a 6 foot white guy, my coach had me playing forward. Not even guard. But that's what I wanted to do. In fact, I want to go back to those moments right now. And I'm going to take a shot this morning. Now, I'm going to ask, we're going to poll you guys. How many people think from this three-point line, I can make that shot? You do? Okay, how many people think, no way? Oh, look at that. Look at that. What kind of faith do you people have? The pastor of your church for goodness sake. Can we hold that for a second? We got to get serious. We got to get serious. Okay, you ready? Okay, hold on. Hold on. All right, yeah. You know what's awesome is as I'm standing here waiting to go on, my friend Ron Sellers rolled Grandma right underneath the hoop. So you got a couple of rebounders right there, and you're funny. I had him sign a liability waiver. Okay. Yeah, you think I can hit this? We're going to give it a try. You know what? You know what? We're going to get real serious right now. All right, here we go. There we go. Let's go, Bruins.
All right, Bruins.
There we go. All right, here we go. Beat me. Okay, I'm going to have to go radio silent because otherwise my mic will go out, but I got one shot. Resurrection, nothing will. You know, when we're young, we have this dream. And maybe it's to be a professional sports athlete, you know, play a football player or a basketball player. Or maybe we want to play hockey, right, Caleb? Maybe we want to be a great hockey player. Or maybe you want to be a professional actor or actress. Anybody professional actor when you were growing up, you want to be an actor or actress? I remember my daughter once said, I want to be a Disney Channel star. And I said, oh, please, no. Anything but that, please. Not that. Or maybe how many of you didn't, you know, it really didn't matter what. You just wanted to be a millionaire. Anybody? Yeah, just go for the money. Now listen, kids, all you kids here, I have a depressing thought for you. Out of all of the people here at Canyon Springs, I don't know a single one that is a movie star, a professional athlete, and honestly, I don't know about millionaire. I guess I would have to look into your bank statements. I'm hoping there are some millionaires here because in about 20 minutes, we're going to take an offering. Now, when you think of that, it's depressing for you kids, but maybe you'll do it. Well, we didn't do. Now, since nobody here became an actor or a professional athlete or made just this scary amount of money, since none of you did that, does that mean that these adults failed at their dream? Absolutely. You know what? I don't think it does. Because here's the facts. Let me take my sunglasses so you can see. Here are the facts. You and I and actors and actresses and athletes and millionaires, we all want the same thing. We love to have peace in our lives. We'd like to not worry anymore. We'd like to be loved by the people around us. Everybody here, in some way or another, would like to have security in their lives. In fact, a lot of people, that's why you want that money, because you feel like if you had that money, then you would be secure. You'd feel good about yourself. You wouldn't have to worry about things. I would guess that the millionaires in this place would tell you differently. But the reality is, we all want that same thing. The life we've always wanted. And maybe it doesn't have anything to do with an actor or actress or a basketball player or a millionaire. Maybe it has everything to do with finding joy, finding peace, finding purpose, finding something that you can do with your life that fills you with joy. You know where you can find those answers? Our Bible is filled with answers like that. Now, if you have an outline and you're not doing this with it, here, look at it right now. This is what God promises us. I have a number of verses. We'll just go on one at a time. Philippians 1, chapter 9 says this. My prayer is that your love will abound more and more. Everybody wants to love. Everybody wants to be loved. Do you want me to sing it for you? There's not a person here who doesn't want to feel that connection. We all want that. Matthew 6:34. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Honestly, who would like to stop worrying right now? Who'd like to just give up worrying? Stop worrying about your future. Stop worrying about what college you're going to go to. Stop worrying about your homework load. And stop worrying about who you're going to marry. And stop worrying about who you married. Stop worrying about what the weather's going to be like on Easter Sunday. And what everybody's going to say to you because they're doing this. Everybody wants that. How would you like those verses to be true of you? Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. A peace that goes beyond understanding, and somebody looks at you in the situation that you're in, and they say this, I can't believe you have peace. I can't believe in your situation you have peace. How is that even possible? We all want that. John 8:32, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Who wants to be set free? Set free of your mistakes. Set free of your past. Set free of the past of your parents that they handed on to you. Free. Truly free. Abundantly free. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Who needs a nap? Do we have any young mothers over here? Any young mothers? Yeah. Can I hear a say it from you guys over there? This isn't just talking about a nap. This is talking about soul rest, where you can rest secure in the arms of Jesus, knowing your life is taken care of. 1 Peter verse 5, or chapter 5. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he'll lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. In your darkness, in your deepest pit, that God will carry you. He will lift you up and all your anxiety will go away. James 1. Consider pure joy whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let your perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Completely mature. You know what this means? You reach all the potential of you as a person. Everybody wants that. Romans 8:28, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, for those who've been called according to his purpose. How many of you would like God to bundle up all of the difficulty in your life? Everything. All the good, the bad, the hurt, the things your parents did you wish they hadn't, the mistakes you'd made that you wish weren't there, the sickness that you got, all of those bundled up and made good. Not just forgotten about, but God uses it to make good in your life. Who doesn't want this? Look, I don't know a single person that doesn't want joy and peace and abounding love and to be able to get rid of your anxiety and get rid of your worry and get rid of your fear. I don't know a single person who doesn't want that. But I do know people, and probably people here today, that do not believe in the resurrection. They go, you know what, I like all the Bible stuff. I like this cast your cares. I like the joy. I like the love. That's really good. I want some of that. Give me some of that love. I want all those things. I just don't know that I buy this whole resurrection thing. Let me tell you something. I got bad news for you if that's you. You walked in here today. If that's you. You can't have them both. You can't have them both. Because everybody who wrote these things, Matthew, John, Peter, Paul, James, based their life on one fact, and that was Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And so all those other things that they wrote really don't matter. Because honestly, folks, if they wrote them and they believed in this resurrection, either one, they're on this big deceptive plot, or two, they've been duped. And all their words are meaningless. Paul put it like this. If there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. If Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless. So is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. We have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. If only for this we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. It's useless. It's worthless. All those times you listened to those messages, worthless. All those parties you didn't go to. All those drinks you didn't have. All those people you didn't sleep with. All that money that you could have cheated out of the other people. All that money you put in the offering basket. All of it. Worthless. Now listen. If you walked in here today and you don't believe in the resurrection, then I don't want you to feel too bad, because all these guys I just told you about, same place. They didn't believe either. So if you have a Bible, I want you to open it to Luke chapter 24. If not, I'll just read it to you. Luke chapter 24. I think it's getting cooler, guys. I really do. I think it's cooling off. I'm feeling a lot cooler now. Ooh, feel that breeze. You guys are fine, right? I can keep going for you, right? Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Jesus died on Friday. It's Sunday, and they brought spices to the tomb. Now, a couple thoughts here. Why did they bring spices to the tomb? Well, you bring spices that are like embalming fluids. When you're burying somebody, you put these spices near the body to embalm them. All right? So why did they do it? That Jesus had already been embalmed. He'd already been wrapped up. Why'd they do it? Ooh. Here's why they did it. Because they thought the men had done it wrong. Actually, this is a real act of love. Because if you think about it like this, they love Jesus so much that they were willing to pull his body out of the tomb, unwrap him, and wrap him back up again because they thought that somebody had done it wrong. Now that is a true act of love. And it made me think. And so I asked my wife this question. Hey, honey, if I died and they buried me and you thought that I had not been embalmed correctly, would you dig me up and re-embalm me? You know what she said? She said, yes. It totally messed up this whole illustration. And I don't believe it. It was an act of love. But let me tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't an act of faith. Because you don't bring embalming spices to somebody that you thought was raised. And Jesus said over and over, I'll be raised, I'll be raised, I'll be raised. Nobody was waiting at the tomb. They weren't waiting there. They just showed up to embalm him again. Verse 2, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they didn't find the body. Two angels showed up and said this, the Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified, on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. It wasn't until they saw two guys lit up like Christmas trees that they believed. So then what they did was they ran off to talk to the disciples. Now surely, these guys had spent years with Jesus hearing his words. Listen to their response. Now when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Of course it seemed like nonsense. People don't die and get raised again. These guys had been with Jesus for 3 years. Nothing. Even after they said he's been raised, nothing. Peter got up, ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. He still doesn't get it. It's not until this moment. Verse 36, well, they're still talking about this. They're all in this back room, hidden. They were afraid that the Jews were going to bust in and take them all to jail. They're hidden. This happens. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what's written. The Messiah will suffer, rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name of all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." In that moment, everything changed. Peter, who denied Jesus, would go to his death, a death on a cross, upside down, because he believed one fact: Jesus was raised. Paul would himself travel the world, get beaten, bruised, stoned, and I mean with rocks. And he would die in prison because he believed in the resurrection of Jesus. Matthew would write this entire book with the climax, one thing: Jesus is resurrected. It was at the center of all of their teaching. And when you look throughout the Old Testament or the New Testament in the book of Acts, when Peter talked about Jesus, they didn't sit around saying, "Hey, remember that great story that Jesus told, you know, the prodigal son? That was awesome, wasn't it? Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That was great, wasn't it?" They had one message over and over and over and over again: Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. Same thing with James. James wrote, "Hey, when you suffer trials, it's good because it produces endurance." You know who James was? Anybody? Brother of Jesus. Okay, raise your hand if you have a brother. Okay? What would it take your brother, what would your brother have to do to prove that he was God? What would that take? Something pretty big, right? Listen. Let me tell you something. Magic tricks and miracles wouldn't do it. James had seen Jesus his whole life. Whole life. All kinds of miracles, blind people seeing, lame people walking, nothing. Let me tell you, on Sunday morning, they weren't all gathered around the tomb counting 10, 9, 8. And yet in that one moment when they saw Jesus, they knew. Now, there are people who say, "Well, it was just a legend," and they bought into the legend because they wrote these things decades after it happened. And people go, "Decades, wow, so long, decades." Let me tell you why decades is not so long, all right? How many people know who wrote the song "Achy Breaky Heart"? Who was it? Billy Ray, possibly the worst song ever written. Was written in 1992. That was the year Miley was born. God bless her. And not only do we remember it, if we played the music, we could sing it. That was decades. You don't think these guys who had seen their best friend die and be raised would remember that? Of course they would. Now, why is this important to us right now? Here's why. Let me ask you a question. Have you tried to do the Christian life, and you've tried and tried and tried and tried, and you tried to not worry? You just try to work and work and work and not worry and not worry and not worry and not worry, and it didn't work. But you tried to not be anxious. You tried to give all your anxiety to God. You tried over and over again. You tried. Nothing happened. You tried to take the trial in your life and make it into something good. It didn't work for you. Listen. Trying doesn't work. Doing your best doesn't work. Do you know what you need? You need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in your life. And that's it. You need a God that doesn't just do magic tricks. And you know what? It'd be great. If you have a difficult time or if you're battling a sickness, it would be great if God just healed you on the spot. It'd be great if he took you out of this hard thing that you're going through right now. It'd be great, but you'd forget. And even after that really great thing, you wouldn't be standing by the tomb counting down. 10, 9. You need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So I was in my office. I was trying to figure out a way to end this message, which is about there, guys, okay? The bounties are about to be inflated. Now listen. So I'm in my office. I'm trying to figure out how to end this message. I get a phone call. Actually, it was a text from a friend of mine. A friend of mine who has been battling cancer. And the text, long and short of it, was, the cancer's gone. And I was so excited. But do you know what? Do you know what my ultimate hope for my friend whose cancer is gone right now is? You know what my ultimate hope for her is? My ultimate hope for her is not that someday she will grow up to be a movie star. Even though, you know, some people have told her that with her short hair, you know, short chemo hair, she looks like Jamie Lee Curtis. If you kids don't know who that is, really, it's irrelevant. My ultimate hope is not that she will someday practice real hard and make the WNBA. My ultimate hope for her is not that someday she will become a millionaire. My hope for her is not even that she will live the rest of her life cancer-free. I hope. But that's not my ultimate hope. My ultimate hope is that Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection will live in her life so that every day she can use that power. And God can help her to stop worrying. And God can help her to stop being anxious. God can help her to overcome that trial in her life and realize it's going to bring her joy. That God can give her purpose in her life so that this cancer can be used to make a difference in the lives of somebody else. And when this whole journey is over and she dies, she can spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the power of the resurrection. That's what it means that Jesus rose. And you can't have all the joy, you can't have all the hope, you can't have all the love unless you have a resurrected Jesus. And that's who we celebrate today. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Let's take a moment, let's pray. Now listen, we're almost done, but do not miss this part. While every head is bowed, do not miss this. If you want to know this Jesus Christ, if you want to have the power of the resurrection in your life, if you've just been trying to be really good and it's not working, and you want to introduce this Jesus into your life, it begins very simply. You have to pray this in the quietness of your heart. Say, dear God, forgive me of my sin. God, forgive me of the things that I wish I had never done. God, I've been trying on my own and it hasn't been working. I need the power of your resurrection in my life. I invite you in to be in charge of my life. While every head is bowed, if you want that today, will you do me a favor? Everybody's going to keep their head down. You just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Everywhere, all over, people's hands are going up. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would pour the power of your resurrection into marriages, into relationships, into illness, that we'd stop doing it on our own. we trust in you. We love you, Lord Jesus, in your name we pray.